Good morning. God had told John the Baptist how he would recognize the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. But I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John 1:32-33. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Matthew 3:11. John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Luke 3:16-17. From these passages we learn that Christ was the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would separate the grain from the chaff. The apostles were told to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After his resurrection and before his ascension, Christ told the apostles to wait in Jerusalem until they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:1-5. The apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:1-4. This passage describes the coming of the Spirit to the apostles. The apostles are mentioned in the last verse of chapter 1. Thus the word they most reasonably refers to them. Also all those who spoke in languages were Galileans according to verse 7, and Peter stood up with the 11 in verse 14. This baptism with the Spirit served as a sign to the people that the apostles were messengers of God. This baptism with the Spirit also gave the apostles the power they would need to perform their task of witnessing Christ to the whole world. The household of Cornelius were baptized with the Holy Spirit when the gospel was first preached to the Gentiles. Peter gave this report of what had happened, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Acts 11:15-17. Peter's statement as upon us at the beginning indicates that this was not a normal occurrence in connection with conversion. The purpose of baptism with the Holy Spirit in this case was to prove to the Jews that the Gentiles were also admitted to the kingdom of God, as is clear from the response of the Jewish Christians who heard Peter's account of what had happened. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God also has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Acts 11:18. Notice that they understood that what had happened was not limited to the house of Cornelius, but has significance for all Gentiles, indicating that they would become Christians. This special occurrence when the gospel was first preached to the Gentiles was also referred to by Peter later. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 15:7-9. No other examples of baptism with the Holy Spirit are found in the New Testament. The baptism with the Holy Spirit served to usher in the kingdom of God, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. In the first case, it was a sign to indicate that the apostles were messengers of God and they were provided with their power they would need to be the witness of Christ. In the second case, proof was given to the Gentiles, were also included in the kingdom of God with no distinction. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Under the Old Covenant, although certain people were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit was not yet available for every believer. Even during the ministry of Jesus on earth, the Spirit had not yet come. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. The Spirit could not be given until Jesus was glorified. That's why Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Acts 2, verse 33. On Pentecost, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But this is not all that happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. "And it shall come to pass in the last days," says God, "that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Acts 2, verse 17. Now what does that mean? Did all people on earth receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Assuredly not. But after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God is available for all people on earth. Since that day, the water of life can be obtained by all. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. And whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Revelation 22:17. In this sense, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh on the day of Pentecost. Although he did not fully understand it himself, Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost that the promise of God's Spirit was also for the Gentiles. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 2, verse 39. From other passages, such as Isaiah 57, verse 19, and Ephesians 2, 11, and 17, we know that "those who are far off" refers to the Gentiles. But this was difficult for the Jews to accept, even for Peter. Thus God confirmed it by pouring out the Holy Spirit on the first Gentile converts in exactly the same way as on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 11, verse 15 through 17, and Acts 15, 7 through 9. Since the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit has been available for all flesh. Since the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the household of Cornelius, it has been confirmed that the gift of the Holy Spirit is also available for all Gentiles. As we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is with us, as Jesus promised, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." John chapter 14, 16 and 17. This is why we do not read anywhere in the New Testament that after the conversion of Cornelius and the Holy Spirit was poured out again, as on the day of Pentecost, he had already come and forever, according to John 14, 16. When some people now in our time pray to God and ask him to pour out the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, it is though they were praying that God would raise Christ from the dead. He has already risen. He has already ascended to the Father, and he has already poured out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. How do we receive the promise? Since Pentecost, the Spirit has come and is available to all. But how do I receive the Spirit? How can the Spirit come to dwell within my heart? When the hearers on Pentecost asked Peter what they should do, he did not say, "Pray to God until he pours out the Spirit for you as he poured it out on us apostles." Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 2, 38 and 39. It is so simple, although many people want to make it so difficult. Nor do we read that the 3,000 baptized on the day of Pentecost spoke in tongues or did signs and wonders. To the contrary, it is clearly stated that the signs and wonders were done by the apostles, Acts 2:43, Acts 5 verse 12. But the 3,000 did receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when they repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. How the Spirit is poured into our heart is also told in Titus 3:4 through 6. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. When we hear the good news of salvation through Christ, and when we believe in Him as the risen Son of God, when we repent of our sins and when we're baptized into the body of Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit was administered by Christ from heaven on the day of Pentecost and when the first Gentiles became Christians. No other cases of baptism with the Holy Spirit are recorded in the New Testament, because these were one-time events with eternal consequences. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe in Christ and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you like a copy of this message, or if there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.